glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 56, verse 3. Even when I am afraid, I keep on trusting you. Psalm 56, 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025. We're picking up right where we left off from yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends with this series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, Daring to Wait on God. It's part of the Daring Faith, the key to miracles. Yesterday we covered 5 points on what to remember while waiting on God. 1, there's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. 2, there's an unseen battle going on. 3, God is preparing you for his blessing. 4, you're in good company when waiting on God. And 5, God always keeps his promises. And then we began looking at what to do while you wait on God, and yesterday closed out with write down the lessons you're learning. Today we're going to look at act as though you've already had it, imitate the habits that grow strong faith, and trust God instead of panicking. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
The A in wait stands for this. This is really important. Act as though I already have it. Act as though I already have it. This is called faith. And when you have deposited a seed of finances, like many have done with Daring Faith, a seed of talent in service, a seed of energy, a seed of reputation, when you've had a need and you planted a seed, what you do while you're waiting for that seed to grow is you act as though you already have it. This is faith. Now, we typically, when we're in the waiting rooms and the wildernesses of life, you know what we do? We don't do that. What we do is we wonder and we worry and we whine. That's what we do in the waiting rooms of life. First, we wonder. Why, Lord, why? We wonder. And then we worry. How, Lord, how? How are you going to do this? And then we whine. When, Lord, when? Are you going to answer my prayer? So instead of wondering and worrying and whining, you need to learn to act as if you've already got it. You act in faith. Here's how Jesus puts it. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Do you notice the change in tense there? Believe that you have received it. That's past tense. Past tense. Believe that you have received it. And then he says, and it will be yours. That's future tense. What in the world is Jesus saying? Believe that I've already got it in order to get it. That's exactly what he's saying. He said, hang on here, Rick. Are you telling me I got to believe something is so, even though it isn't so, in order that it becomes so? Yep, that's called faith. When you thank God after you get the answer to your prayer, that's called gratitude. When you thank God before you get the answer to your prayer, that's called faith. When you act as though you've already got it, then you'll get it. That's faith. Believe that you have received it, past tense, and it will be yours. President, let's go back to the pregnant woman. Every pregnant woman does this, what I've just talked about. She carries inside her body the promise of a baby. And she's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And even though she can't see that baby, she's never seen that baby, she knows it's there. She's confident that it's there. And she can feel that baby there. So even though she's never seen the baby, she starts preparing in advance for the baby's arrival in faith. And first, she starts eating differently. She starts taking better care of her body. She starts sleeping differently. She starts going out and buying maternity clothes because she knows she's going to get bigger. She starts stocking a nursery. They have showers. She gets clothes. She gets diapers. She gets all the paraphernalia, the changing tables and the rocking cribs and all the kinds of stuff. And she's doing that in faith. They don't call it expecting for nothing. She's expecting a baby. She hadn't seen that baby, but she's acting as though it's already here. She doesn't want to wait and for the baby to be born and then go, I probably ought to have some clothes for this little tyke. I probably ought to have some diapers, maybe some bottles, maybe even a place for the baby to sleep. No, those things are already done in advance. She's preparing in faith because she's expecting. And she knows that that baby is coming. It's just a matter of time. I once asked Kay when she was pregnant and one of our kids what it felt like in the last trimester. She said, it's like you're at the top of Space Mountain and the only way out is down. You know you're going to go through that. There's no way out. It's not like, I think I'll go back to the ticket and ask for a refund. No, you're going through the ride. So she hasn't seen that baby, but she's expecting it. She's believing it in faith, and she'll wait as long as it takes until the child is delivered. She acts as though she's already got it. She starts preparing for that baby. Now, let's just take this in a real practical way. Let's say some of you are out of work right now. You're looking for a job, and you're waiting for a job, and maybe you're waiting on God to get a job. And you've been praying, God, I need a really good job. Okay, question. If you had a job, how would you act? Start acting in that way right now. First place, if you had a job, would you lay around all day in your pajamas and not take a shower? No. If you actually had a job, you would set an alarm and you would get up and you'd get ready and you'd put on work clothes and then that's what you need to be doing right now. You need to start acting like you've got the job. You don't wait till you get the job to act like you got the job. There's no faith in that. You act in advance. You believe a thing is so, even though it isn't so, that it becomes so. And you do it now. And you set the alarm and you get the clothes and whatever you need to do. Well, I want you to write this down. Waiting is not passivity. Waiting is not passivity. You do all you can to get ready. There is a difference between passively waiting in fear and apathy and expectantly waiting in faith where you take action. You get prepared and you act as though you already have it. God does this. Do you know that God goes to Abraham 25 years before he has a son and changes his name? He says, your name's Abram, and I'm going to change it to Abraham. And Abraham says, what's that mean? Abraham means father of many nations. So for 25 years, Abram changes his name, and he's called Abraham. How do you like this? He walks into a bar. What's your name? Father of many nations. Oh, great. How many kids you got? None. How old are you? 100. Interesting. How'd you like to live with that? Look at this verse on the screen. The Bible says in Romans 4:17, God calls things that are not as though they were. And that's called faith. Everything God created, he spoke into existence. He calls things that are not as though they were. And he says, Abraham, you're the father of a great nation. He hadn't had any kids yet. He's speaking it into existence. He says to Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. That was the last thing Gideon was. He was a weakling and a coward. He says to Peter, you are a rock. Peter was Mr. Impulsive, Mr. Foot and Mouth. He was anything but a rock. God speaks it into existence. And he says, you do it the same way. He says, like I've made you a father of many nations. All right, the I and wait is the third key you do while you're waiting on God. It's this. Imitate the habits that grow strong faith. I need to imitate the habits, particularly of people of strong faith. You can imitate people of strong faith and look at the habits that they do, find their skills, find their patterns, find their habits, and follow that. Imitate that to grow strong in your faith. In other words, use the time while you're waiting to develop personal maturity. Let me show you some verses. 1 Peter 1:6-7. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith, daring faith, and patience, that's waiting, through faith and waiting, through faith and patience, who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. He says, that's the kind of people you ought to be imitating when you're in the waiting room. We don't want you to be lazy. Don't sit around passively doing nothing. He says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what God has promised. Paul says it like this in Philippians 4:9. Keep on putting into practice all that you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. That's called imitation. So when you're going through a period of waiting, you should look around and find a stronger Christian, a godly woman or a godly man, and see what they're doing and imitate their faith. The Bible talks about this multiple times. It talks about it in Hebrews 13, verse 7, and other places. Imitate their faith. We all learn best by models. That's why, you know, during Daring Faith, I've been giving you testimonies. I mean, even today, I passed out another sheet that you can pick up on the way going out, and one of the pages is just a list of testimonies. Why? Because we grow in faith by reading the faith of others. You don't grow in faith by not hearing about other people's faith, but you do grow in faith when you read about other people's faith. And that's why we've been, every week, we've been giving you testimonies, because the Bible says, imitate the faith of those who've grown strong in the faith. Keep on putting into practice. Now, I want you to write this down. This is very important. Don't get anything else. Get this one. When you're in the waiting room of life, don't put my life on hold. Please write that down. Don't put my life on hold. While I'm waiting for my big break in Hollywood, while I'm waiting for my ship to come in, while I'm waiting for an answer to prayer, while I'm waiting for the girl or the man of my dreams to show up, don't put your life on hold. Waiting is not inactivity. It is not idleness. It is not laziness. It is not passivity. It is not apathy. Waiting is the time to develop habits and skills that you're going to use later on. I'll say it again. Waiting is the time you develop the habits and the skills that you're going to use later on. Many of you know the story about my year of depression. 1980, we started the church. At the end of 1980, I stood up to speak and I passed out while I was preaching. Fainted, flat out. And I went through 1981, I was depressed the whole year. And my goal was not, oh God, build a great church. It was, oh God, get me through Sunday. Can I put one foot in front of the other? I'd go and I'd preach a service and I'd go home and get in bed. In that entire year of darkness and depression, God taught me habits and skills that prepared me to handle enormous amounts of stress that I would have never had if I hadn't gone through that waiting period. And I learned in that year of down and discouragement and waiting to juggle more balls than you could possibly think of. And God was putting skills and habits in my life during the downtime. If you're going to lose, you want to lose in preseason, not at the Super Bowl. It's okay to have some early losses in life, because that's when you can learn. Don't put your life on hold. Instead, imitate the habits that grow strong faith. What are those habits? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you five. The Bible says there are five things you should keep on doing. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. And that means even in the wilderness, even in the waiting period, you need to keep on doing these things. Number one, keep on praying. When you're in the waiting room, keep on praying. Matthew 7:7 says, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. That's actually the correct Greek, because it's a participle. It's a continuation. It's a continuing verb that says, keep on doing it. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking and you will get your answer. Keep on praying. Number two, keep on serving. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. This sharpens your skill. Most of you guys know I train pastors. And I meet a lot of young pastors who, they don't want to do the menial things in ministry. And they don't want to serve God in a small way. They only want to serve God in a big way. Well, you don't get to serve God in a big way unless you've served God in a small way first. If you're faithful in little things, then you'll be faithful in much. And they want to say, I've had guys tell me this, actually use this phrase. I want a significant ministry. And I said, here's what you do. Forget having a significant ministry, going to a significant ministry. Just make your ministry significant. Don't look for a significant ministry in life. Make your ministry significant. There are no great ways to serve God. There are only small ways to serve God done with a great heart. And that's true greatness. And so you serve God with a great heart and you make the ministry successful. Why do I say keep on serving? Because that's another meaning of the word wait. Wait doesn't just mean expect something to happen that hasn't happened yet. Wait also means to serve. Have you ever had a waiter at your table? Why do they call that guy the waiter? You're the one who's waiting. You're waiting on the food, okay? You're waiting on him, not he's waiting on you. Well, it's two different meanings. When you say, I'm waiting for something to happen, that's what you're doing. But wait also means to serve. And that's why servers are called waiters. And ladies in waiting are women who serve the queen. Because the word wait doesn't just mean to expect, it also means to serve. And when you're in the waiting room of life, that's a good time to practice serving. To find a ministry and just get involved. Don't sit around doing nothing, waiting for your ship to come in. Get out there and just start serving. Number three, keep on praying, keep on serving. Number three, this is in the scripture, keep on going to small group. Keep on going to small group. Hebrews 10:25 says this, don't give up your habit, notice small group is a habit, don't give up your habit of meeting with other believers. Instead, keep on encouraging each other. Some of you got in a Daring Faith small group and you did it for all 6-7 weeks. And now you go, okay, well, that was good. Now I'm going to just drop out of group. That's dumb. Keep on going to small group. If you want to change groups, fine. You don't like the people you're in, I give you permission to change. Just say, oh, I need a different night. Fine. Or, I'll go start a new group, whatever like that. You know, it's like if you're in a group and you didn't really like it, it's like, well, it's like a doctor. You don't like your doctor, so I'm never going to go to another doctor. No, you just find another one. You go to a restaurant, you have a bad meal. I'm going to give up eating. That's stupid. No, you just go to another restaurant. If your group didn't meet your needs, congratulations. You learned some love to love people. Maybe it were difficult for you to love. Get in another group. But whatever you do, keep on going small group. Don't give up the habit. Keep on. Number four, keep on sowing. Ecclesiastes 11:6 says this, keep on sowing your seed. For you never know which ones will grow. Perhaps they all will. And then number five, keep on believing. Keep on believing. The Bible says you must keep on believing the things you have been taught. You know they are true. The point is stay active. The big point I'm trying to make is that waiting is not passivity. God cannot steer a parked car. I'm waiting, God. Well, turn on the ignition. And just start driving. Where? Anywhere. God can direct a car that's moving. He cannot direct a car that's stalled. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved in service. Get involved in a small group. Do the things that you know you could be doing, developing skills and habits now to prepare so that when that baby arrives, you're not caught off guard. The delivery is a joy. Write down the lessons, act as though I already have it, imitate the habits that grow strong faith. And the T we learn from Scripture in the waiting rooms of life is to trust God instead of panicking. Trust God instead of panicking. Now, there's a couple facts that you can trust about God. One, God is never in a hurry. You can know that for sure. And number two, God is never late. You can know that for sure. God's timing is always perfect. Now, what happens in those times where it appears that God is late? In the times where it appears God is late, God is getting you ready for a miracle. I could give you so many examples of this in Scripture. For instance, Mary and Martha in the Bible had a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. Lazarus got deathly sick. And he lived in a city called Bethany. Bethany was just a few miles from where Jesus was, maybe 3-4 miles. It's just out of town, out of Jerusalem. And they sent word to Jesus, "Jesus, can you come over to our house in Bethany? Your best friend, Lazarus, is sick. He's deathly ill." And it takes Jesus 3 days to go about 5 miles. What's going on here? When Jesus finally gets there, he could have easily got there in an hour or two. It takes him 3 days to go a few miles to see his best friend who's dying. And when he gets there, they say, "Too late, Jesus. He's already dead. We've wrapped him up and we've buried him in a tomb. You're too late. Sorry, you're a little late. You missed the timing on your best friend." Well, Jesus wasn't late because Jesus had already in his mind what he was going to do. His goal was not to heal Lazarus. His goal was to raise him from the dead. His goal was not to just make him well. His goal was to do a miracle of astronomical proportions. Sometimes God lets a situation get so bad, only a miracle will do. Don't give up your faith. Hold on, hang on, do the things I've just taught you how to do, because you're getting ready for a miracle. Jesus walks up the tomb, says, "Roll the stone away." They roll the stone away. And he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, I'm glad he said Lazarus, because if he just said come forth, every dead person in Syringer is going to come out at that point. But he calls him by name, "Lazarus, come forth." He comes out. And it's interesting, when he walks up to the tomb, he says, "Father," they overheard him praying this, "Father, I thank you that you've already heard me. Father, I thank you that you've already heard me. And I'm even saying this just for the people around me." He already knew what he was going to do. God already knows what he's going to do in your life next month, next year, and next decade. And his plan for you is good. And you need to trust him. And you need to relax. And when you're in the waiting room, you need to just say, "Okay, he's not early, he's not late, he's always on time. And I will trust God. And I will do these things. I'll write down the lessons and I'll act as though it's already happened. And I'm going to keep on doing the habits. I'll keep on sowing. And I'll keep on sharing. And I'll keep on serving. And I'll keep on believing. And I'll keep on going to small group. And I'll keep on praying. Because God's timing is perfect. He's not too late." I'll close with this. Many years ago in my backyard, I planted bamboo around our pool area. I'm kind of a student of bamboo. Some bamboos grow very, very slow, and some grow very fast, and some grow slow, 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 and then fast. Here's how you take how you grow a typical piece of bamboo. You cut a piece of bamboo off like this, and you cut it in half, and you stick it in the ground, and you water it for a year, and nothing happens. Nothing. And you water it for the second year, the bamboo, and nothing happens. And you water it for the third year, and nothing happens. And you water it for the fourth and the fifth year, and nothing happens. And you fertilize it. And on the sixth year, you water it, and nothing happens. And on the seventh year, it sprouts. But once it sprouts, it takes off. Some bamboo can grow 1 meter or 3 feet in 24 hours. Some bamboo can grow to 9 feet in about 4 days. It just, when it takes off, it takes off. I tell pastors, some of you are in bamboo churches. And you're in a little church and you've been watering it and watering it and watering it and watering it and watering it. And about year six, you say, "I give up. This isn't going to work." And you leave. And the seventh guy comes in on the seventh year and it sprouts and he gets all the credit. But you did all the cultivating. Your life is like bamboo. And you may have been thinking, "I have been working on this and working on this and working on this. And I have been studying the Bible, I have been serving, I have been tithing, I have been believing, I have been planting seeds." You may be in year six. Don't give up. Because when that thing sprouts, it could grow 9 feet in about 3 days. And it just takes off. And you go, "Whoa, what just happened?" God just did what he wanted to do. Last verse on the screen, Galatians 6:9. "So let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing." But here's the condition. "If we don't get discouraged and give up, I will not, as your pastor, let you give up. I will beat you." I'm just giving up. I'm giving up on God, and I'm giving up on the Bible, and I'm giving up a small group, and I'm giving up a tithe, then I'm coming to your house. And I'll take you by saying, you are in year three of the bamboo story. You have no idea what you're going to. I am so glad that in the darker days of my life, I did not give up on God. But I'm even more glad. I'm more glad that he didn't give up on me. He knew what he was going to do in my life. And I didn't. And I had no idea. But during the dark days, I was learning the skills, and I kept on praying, and I kept on giving, and I kept on serving, and I kept on believing, and I kept on trusting, and the bamboo sprouted. Psalm 56:3. Even when I'm afraid, I will trust you. That's daring faith. Even when I'm afraid, I will trust you. That's daring faith. Now listen, some of you think you've been waiting on God, and God is waiting on you. What you have been thinking is, I'm waiting on God, but what you're really thinking is, I'm waiting for the fear to go away, and then I'll do it. I'm going to wait for the fear to go away, and then I'll make this commitment. I'm going to wait for the fear to go away, and then I'll go after my dream. I'm going to wait for the fear to go away, and then I'll start tithing or give to Daring Faith. I'm going to wait this fear to go away, and then whatever you got on your mind. Let me tell you a little secret. It's not going away. It's not going away. God's not going to take that fear away. The only way you get through that fear, you must move against it.
Yes, move against that fear with faith. Don't put your life on hold. Keep on praying, keep on serving, keep on going to small group, keep on sowing, and keep on believing. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab. Both yesterday and today's program, titled Daring to Wait on God, part of the Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles by Pastor Rick Warren, can be heard anytime on our website, and you can go back the 8 weeks worth of other Tuesday and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends to hear this series in its entirety. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.